Hello everybody, welcome back for another video. Hope you're all doing well and that you are all having a great day. Welcome back to the weekend, if you will, my favorite time of the week, where I get to talk a bit slower and don't have to be as rushed with my cryptocurrency news. Anyway, without further ado, let's jump right into it. On Wednesday, the Gibraltar Blockchain Exchange, or the GBXDAX, a regulated and insured token sale platform and digital exchange, and a part of the Gibraltar Stock Exchange, announced that it had listed XRP onto their platform. The exchange made this announcement via a tweet. The GBXDAX is a highly innovative exchange which is based on institutional grade best practices and good governance. GBXDAX is a highly intuitive and easy to use platform, and it uses the market experience of its parent company, the Gibraltar Stock Exchange, which is an EU regulated entity. GBXDAX is the first fully regulated digital asset exchange to be owned by a traditional stock exchange. Recently, they got the green light from the regulatory watchdog known as the Gibraltar Financial Services Commission, or the GFSC, and it was awarded a full DLT license coupled with a new issuance policy. Speaking about the addition of XRP, Nick Cohen, who is the CEO of the GSX Group, said, "Ripple is a major player within the blockchain industry. In ways similar to our work at the GSX Group, it aims to replace or reshape pretty much the old methods of finance and banking, transforming payment through the blockchain technology. XRP is a globally traded token, and by joining the GBXDAX, it further expands its liquidity and reach," end quote. It talks about the RippleNet, what have you. As per the blog, it is seemingly that XRP is going to be paired with the US dollar, the euro, the British pound, Ethereum, as well as having BTC pairs. The most significant part about this is, once again, even more news about either an XRP listing or about XRP being listed onto... For those who don't know what Gibraltar is, take a couple of seconds and Google it. It's a very wealthy place that a lot of people go to. I think it's also known as like a tax haven. Don't quote me on that, but Gibraltar is very large when it comes to the world of finance. Being listed on anything is very significant for a cryptocurrency. But when you get listed on, you know, the child company, if you will, of a stock exchange, it's very significant. I have believed for quite a long amount of time, and I know a lot of people will disagree. At this point, it doesn't really matter. A lot of people don't believe that the earth goes around the sun. I mean, it's just how kind of life is. The Ripple company and the Ripple team, they're setting up XRP to be one of the largest assets that we have in the entire world. I don't have it in this video, but there's something else that also recently happened. It's very clear where this is all going. I implore all of you to please do your own research. I know a lot of people who have in the past may have hated XRP or the Ripple team. You now understand exactly why I said before that there's a lot of money to be made with them. The prices that we hit before in 2017 are going to be dwarfed, in my opinion, by the next bull run, because the amount of liquidity that we now have in the space and in the system is going to be a lot more significant. I mean, if you don't think that XRP being listed on the Gibraltar Exchange is significant, I really don't know what to tell you. But every single day has been nonstop as far as like good news for XRP. But yeah, without further ado, let us move on. Gonna kind of breeze over this one. This was reported everywhere, and I get why it's significant, but I'll talk about it in a tiny bit. There's a company called BPG, the Bancor Physical Gold Group, I guess. Apparently, they're a heavyweight company in the material refinery industry, which also deals with efficient methods to reuse scrap metals that they spread across Europe. As per their tweet on the 7th of January, customers will be able to buy these shares of metal using either cryptocurrencies or now fiat currencies, they said, and I do quote, "E-metals will purchase the real-world commodity stocks based on customer demand and generate IOUs to represent each share. Customers will be able to use select cryptocurrencies as well as fiat currencies to purchase the IOUs. IOUs will be backed on a one-to-one basis to the real-world securities," end quote. What's kind of interesting about this, and if you dig a bit deeper into their actual, like what they were talking about and stuff like that, they note that you are going to be able to buy shares of their metals that they're sending to other people through cryptocurrencies. but for some reason they only list, they tweeted this. They said equity markets are closed more hours of the day than they are open. Users will be able to trade shares of popular commodity companies on eMetals platform 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then they wrote hashtag Ripple, hashtag XRP, hashtag commodities, with no other information as to the other cryptocurrencies that are going to be allowed on their platform. Interesting. I've, for quite a while, one of the main problems I think that most of the crypto, I mean, it wasn't even a, this isn't even an opinion at this point. The problem that a lot of cryptocurrency projects had and have had for quite a amount of time is that they had no liquidity. We've seen situations even right now with prices being this low and cryptocurrency volumes being relatively low compared to where they used to be. Every single time that we get, and I'm actually going to get into that later on in the video as well. Whenever we see like a movement of coins, or we see like someone like doing wash trading and a whole bunch of other things and spoofs and stuff like that, it can move the market very easily, simply because there's no liquidity. Ripple has set themselves up in a monstrous way. I think their main goal from the very beginning was to be used by banks, or to have banks integrate them. But the way they figured out how to even build like a stronger cocoon around themselves, don't think of them as a cocoon. They found so many other companies who are willing to use XRP / XRapid. And even as like a, like the amount of liquidity that we're going to have, like the meaning, like the ease of being able to put money into, take money out of the market without it having like a significant effect on the prices, i.e. if you have, if someone tries to take out, imagine if someone tried to sell 1 million Bitcoin right now. Like, we know that there are people out there who have 1 million Bitcoin. Let's even slim it down to 100,000 Bitcoin. If someone tried to sell that on the market right now, Bitcoin's price would turn to dust. It's just kind of how liquidity works. There's barely, like, we've seen movements on the market before, and Bitcoin's price hasn't fared too well. So the more people that you have trading your currencies back and forth, the stronger and more liquidity that it actually ends up having. So if someone at some point in the future, when you have a Bitcoin price of, let's say, $200,000, you know, that we have a multi-trillion dollar market, and someone ends up selling, let's say, $30 million worth of Bitcoin on the market, it will barely even register as a dip on the market, simply because of the amount of liquidity that we have. I'm still very anxious, as I'm sure many of you are as well, to be able to see exactly, it's not even just Ripple at this point who's been doing this, is a lot of other platforms who have made sure that their tokens have been placed in many other places. It's at least 60, 70 different places right now that we know that XRP has been listed on multiple other places. It's not even like the 15 or 18 XRapid partners. It's not even the banks that have announced that they're going to use them. It's not even these things. It's also like other cryptocurrency exchanges. It's also other platforms who talk about integrating them and tip bots and all this. When we finally get there, I don't know when we're going to get there. I'm very interested to see exactly what impact this is going to have on the market and onto prices, because what we saw in 2017 is that when there was a run-up, it was like one of the major problems was that people couldn't figure out how to buy these cryptocurrencies. Now they're everywhere. They're in freaking tobacco shops, excuse my language. And the same exact thing as far as like being able to buy them and cash out of them and all these other things. Quite interesting. I don't know. I could talk about it for a long time. I think that liquidity is something that's never really spoken about. So many people focus on just what the price is, not realizing that these coins have to be liquid, that we have to have 2018, regardless of what you say, was necessary. We needed this situation where prices got slammed to the ground and multiple different companies and stuff like that started talking about being able to integrate them and using them as a payment method and stuff like that. Because when we actually do have another bull run, we're going to have a mimic of 2017, and so many other places trying to get in on the cash grab are also going to be listing these coins and things like that onto their platforms as quickly as possible to be able to get into the news to say, hey, us over here, we also have that. We also have what you want. We also have what you need, what you're trying to look for. And at that point, sky's the limit. Like, it was just a major build-up year. Anyway, let's move on. Going to slightly breeze over this one. So apparently what ended up happening was Wyoming, the state of Wyoming, apparently has a new governor. His name is Mark Gordon. He, I guess, just got inaugurated or something like that very recently, and he was talking about the future of blockchain inside of Wyoming, and he talked about beef chain and sheep chain, which I assume are going to be very significant within Wyoming. Maybe they have a huge beef and sheep industry in that state. Somewhere along the way, as he was praising the blockchain industry, where is it? It says the Western state is also starting to attract other businesses with this friendly legislation. One such company is IOHK, Input Output Hong Kong, the company behind Cardano. Its founder, Charles Hoskinson, confirmed that the move when asked if they were considering moving his business to Malta, another blockchain-friendly destination. He said, we're actually, IOHK is leaving Hong Kong, so I wonder if they're going to change that HK. He said, we're moving to Wyoming, next to Colorado in the United States. I live in Colorado, so we're now a U.S. company. I assume the interview where he said that. Meat, chicken, fish. I assume they're doing it. I don't know the exact implications, but I assume they have a more relaxed taxation policy. There's a couple of states in the United States that have, it's like three. I think it's Colorado, Wyoming, and like Iowa. Yeah, Iowa or Ohio. I can't remember which one. Who have announced that they're very blockchain friendly. It's nice to see that there are states within the United States that are trying to make sure that they take advantage of this. Like when you have news that the pretty much IOHK / Cardano is moving back to the States from Hong Kong, that means that the money that they would have made in Hong Kong is now going to go to U.S. taxes, and other companies will probably end up setting up shop in the same building next to them or in the what have you. So I guess the news overall is that the IOHK as a whole, it appears, I'm sure they have other offices in other places, but maybe the core foundation of it, as this may be easier for Charles Hoskinson, is going to be moving directly next to him. Anyway, yeah, Cardano's moving. It's nice to see that. I mean, I still don't understand. I'm also not a politician. I'm also not in the government, if you didn't notice. So maybe I just don't completely understand the mindset of what it means to be a politician. But from the very beginning, if you see that there's this new budding industry that many other countries around the world have been benefiting from simply by lowering their taxes or saying that you will, like, what was the other country who stopped taxes, I think, for like, they said, like, in the next 7 years within their country for anything that has to do with blockchain? This is how you kind of get money to flow to you. So very good job, Wyoming, whatever they did, whatever the government governor said. Keep it up, because it's I don't know, it's very weird to me that other people aren't taking advantage of this. But let's move on. So Russia is, of course, in the news. Everyone's wondering about what's happening with Russia and the entire cryptocurrency thing. Vyacheslav Volodin, the chairman of the lower chamber of the Russian parliament, has said that bills on the digital economy will be a priority during the upcoming session. The parliament's official website revealed this in a press release published on Wednesday. Speaking at the opening of the parliament's spring session, Volodin mentioned that the digital economy bills that are currently being considered, including the ones on digital financial assets, digital rights, and crowdfunding, according to the chairman, the members of the parliament will focus on these bills during the upcoming session. Volodin also urged lawmakers to create a favorable legal environment for the development of digital economy in Russia. The chairman further recommended the creation of a working group of experts, entrepreneurs, and researchers in order to speed up the development of the new digital economy-related laws. Volodin added that the members of parliament are set to present more than 20 new draft bills related to the digital economy in the future. The Russian government has been struggling, that's an understatement, to finalize its bills on digital assets throughout last year, with the final version receiving heavy criticism from members of the industry. The draft bill for crypto legislation, which lacked definitions for core crypto concepts such as mining and cryptocurrencies themselves, has been ultimately sent back to the first reading stage. For those who haven't been keeping full track of exactly what's been happening in Russia, I have, especially since last year, when the entire talk about regulations first got underway. One of the weirdest things that we had in Russia, or coming from Russia, was the first thing that they proposed was talking about a ban on cryptocurrencies, which we know is now a lie and probably not going to happen. The second thing that ended up happening was their about face, I think three times at this point, where they were talking about launching their own central bank digital currency, or a crypto ruble, which seems to also have been completely scrapped. When they were first working on the first drafts, if you will, on a digital asset bill, the weirdest things that they had proposed were that. And this was, I assume, and I hope that they've gotten rid of these because it was probably some of the weirdest things in the entire world. It was that you, as a normal individual, everyday person, I think you had a limit of around, what was it, like $3,000 per year that you could actually put into cryptocurrencies. And I can only imagine the ways that they were trying to get people to like sign up for this so that you had to tell them in a certain way. I can only assume that you had to, every purchase that you had, maybe print out something and then show the government that you had not gone over that amount. And then also in this same exact bill, there was no stipulation if you were like, what do they call them? It wasn't even institutional investors. It was pretty much worded like rich people, that they had no barriers on them. They could buy as much crypto as they wanted. They could invest as much as they wanted into ICOs. Yeah, that was also another stipulation. I think normal people could invest only a couple thousand, like they had like a US dollar equivalent, because I can't begin to tell you what the ruble will be in numbers. They also had another thing, you could only invest a certain amount in crypto, and I think there was a couple $100 limit if you were trying to buy into ICOs within Russia. And once again, in that same exact bill, the rich people had no stipulations like this. It said if you are, it was like a seasoned investor, I can't remember the exact phrase that they were using, but pretty much the sky was the limit for you. You could use as much as you want, buy as much as you want, do what exactly what you wanted, which I thought was kind of special. But I mean, we know how governments work. We know how rich people work for and with other rich people. I assume that probably some of that is going to be inside of it as well. If the rumors are true, and if Russia has been into this for quite some time and they're trying to make themselves more or less an industry leader in the cryptocurrency space, they probably have a general understanding of the prospects of the usage of this, how many more people are going to be getting into the cryptocurrency space, and probably even the prices of where they're going to be in the future. So one could assume that they're trying to figure out, in my opinion, the way that it would seem to work out is, if people bought an asset 7-8 years ago for a couple $100, ended up becoming millionaires because of it, the government probably wants to know exactly who is holding how much so that they can calculate if this person or group of people are going to become or have become millionaires over the course of the time. Anyway, just my speculation. I think a lot of countries, when I look further back at it, we've seen a lot of countries who've been talking about things like this. They're trying to either legalize it in a certain way that the government has more control over it, which is kind of weird, but they're also trying to keep tabs on people within their country to figure out exactly how much they have, because I think, once again, speculation, we're going to get to a point where a lot of people are probably going to be making a lot of money from the industry. And then you also get into the discussion and the topic of like anti-money laundering and know your customer and all this other stuff, because the situation that we've seen in China, which is also currently taking place, there was a video I was looking at. They were talking about the growth of other countries around the world when people from China were allowed to give or spend their money in these other countries, i.e. like when people from China were buying buildings in the United States and stuff like that, to show like the growth of the money going into these other countries from China. And then all of a sudden, when the Chinese government realized that they were losing billions of dollars because everyone's having the money flow out of China, there was a huge drop the next year, and it started going back down once again. This was like 2016, 2017. So it comes down to capital controls, and it comes down to knowing how much money is going into your country. And this is why, you know, people always say, you know, why they're really excited when there's so much like funds flowing into their country. Wow, we're doing so great. But the opposite happens if you have billions of dollars flowing out of your country. So once again, point is, I assume a lot of this is being done, and I'm pretty sure they're working on it in a certain manner, at least in my opinion, to make sure that the people who, if you have to tell them, I'm putting 3,000 into this year, 3,000 into this so-and-so year, and they can tell 8 years down the line if prices have gone up, hey, you now have, random number, $10 million. Why don't we see this reflected on your bank account? Why don't we see this so-and-so here? Just speculation, kind of me. It's happening in China already. People in China, in order to get their money out of the country now, have actually resorted to, it's kind of weird, they're some of the richest people, they go to these like auctions and stuff like that, and they'll buy these like huge diamonds for 15 million, so and so million, blah, blah, blah. Or they'll buy like really big paintings from Sotheby's. That's like when they have an auction that's located inside of China. And then sometime at some point, I don't know when, they'll actually ship it over to the UK or to Europe or to America, the thing that they just purchased, however they decide to ship it over. and they sell it once again in that country. And the money that they make from that, they then put that into a new bank account in that country. This is how they're getting money out of it. So people still find ways to have money flow out of their countries. But I'm pretty sure I can feel it in my heart. One of the main things that a lot of countries are worried about is that when crypto does become really big, they have no way of, you can check the ledgers, you can check the blockchains, you can check to see exactly how much is being sent back and forth. But when there's no face to it, this ends up being an issue for the governments, because it's widely believed, and this is, now remember me saying this in 2019, remember I told you guys before, in 2012, 2013, when I got into crypto, people were talking about these situations that we have right here, government laws and financial systems breaking down and stuff like that. What we're going to have in another, brain fart, completely lost it. What are we going to have in another couple of years? I don't remember. Oh, that's awful. That's awful. I had such a good point to make. I don't remember what it was. There we go. In a couple of years, I had to wait to get it. I was not going to let it go. What we're going to have in another couple of years is these privacy layers and stuff like that on top of these coins that won't allow anyone to know exactly where the transactions are going. And it's widely believed, like I said, remember in 2019, I'm talking about this, the next 5 or 6 years, people think that we're going to enter a space where it's going to be even difficult for governments to figure out how much taxes people have to pay. Because if you can pay for everything in crypto, if you get it paid in crypto, or if you find another way to grow your wealth from the crypto that you have right now, and you are sending money, doing everything back and forth, there's no way to really tell about capital controls. It's all very interesting. So the idea is, a couple years from now, 5 or 6 years, we may live in a world where it gets very difficult for countries to figure out exactly how much someone has to pay in tax, if they have to pay in tax, what there has to be taxed, and all this other stuff, simply because when Bitcoin has 8 private layers around it and Mimblewimble and all this other stuff, and yeah, kind of interesting. Didn't mean to spend that much time on the Russia parliament story, but it's very interesting. Cryptocurrency is growing in a certain direction. All the stuff that we see spoken about right now was the same exact stuff that people were talking about 6-7 years ago that were going to happen. And now, lo and behold, they're happening. So now a lot of the crypto oracles, if you want to call them that, are talking about a future where governments can't keep capital controls anymore, because everything is in crypto and everyone knows how to control their own crypto. Everyone has their crypto on their phone or on their computer, and transactions are private. Yeah, let's move on. Next up, crypto startup known as Bitwise Asset Management has proposed a new Bitcoin exchange traded fund that it says would address the regulatory concerns that doomed previous attempts. The company has filed an initial registration form proposing the Bitwise Bitcoin ETF Trust with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, or the SEC. The fund would track the Bitwise Bitcoin Total Return Index, which measures the value of Bitcoin plus any meaningful hard forks. If the ETF is approved, which it won't be, its shares will be listed on the New York Stock Exchange ARCA, which focuses on trading stocks and options rather than large cap stocks, which are listed on the New York Stock Exchange. The initial registration statement indicates that Bitwise wants to underpin its index for the valuation of the fund with spot prices for exchanges and physically settled futures contracts, rather than cash settled contracts as earlier proposed ETFs would have done. In a statement, Bitwise Global Head of Exchange Traded Funds, John Hyland, noted that the SEC may not grant the application, adding, "We believe that the crypto trading ecosystem has evolved in significant ways in the past year. Having a regulated bank or trust company hold the physical assets of a fund has been the standard under U.S. regulation fund for the past 80 years, and we believe that is now possible with Bitcoin," end quote. It says, "We are optimistic that 2019 should be the year that a Bitcoin ETF launches. I've lost all hope for the U.S. Excuse me. Sorry if I hurt some feelings out there. It's just kind of the truth, and you know exactly what I mean. It doesn't take 4 years to allow anything to go through. A Bitcoin ETF should have been passed years ago. The fact that we have so much hype and focus around this is actually destroying the market, because every single time, every single month that goes by that we don't have a Bitcoin ETF that is allowed through, the market ends up dipping down. We've seen this before. As we get closer to the possible addition or approval of a Bitcoin ETF, we see the market go up 7, 8, 9, 10, 15%. People always speculate. They think, why is the market going up? I can't believe to, oh my gosh, maybe the bulls are back. No, they're not back. Everyone's just kind of hopeful that an exchange traded fund is going to get pushed through, because there's no reason that it shouldn't be pushed through at this point. But we end up having the same exact situation over and over, where the SEC decides to say no. Best of luck to them. I hope the Bitwise asset management team and proposal and ETF and trust, I hope they do the best that they can. We still have, and I mean, no one hold your breath. The other one is supposed to, is like sometime in February or something like that. Not even half a second of holding my breath. I guess the major news is that there's another company trying to get one of these pushed through. Hold on. I'll try and get back to this in actually 1 second. One of the things that they're trying to do, or trying to smooth over or make sure that isn't as bad, is the actual, where is it? Like the custody solution. When the SEC is talking about that they don't believe that there is a proper custody solution, they don't mean Coinbase. They don't mean Binance. They don't mean the little institutional things that they've created, where Coinbase is putting your Bitcoin onto a computer and then they're putting it into a safe, and the safe has like a laser grid, and the laser grid has a little whatever. They mean banks. They want other banks to be in the cryptocurrency space who have announced that they're going to be having like a custody solution, that they will hold your cryptocurrencies for you. If I'm not mistaken, I think that Bank of America was one of these banks who announced before that they were going to like open up something crypto related. We need about 10 of them, and we need them to start doing it, because what we've seen throughout 2018, once again, properly frustrating, is that so many of them, banks, announced that they were going to have crypto custody solutions, which I myself would advise against everyone listening to this actually using, i.e., if you've had trouble with your bank before, imagine putting $7,000 at this moment of your cryptocurrency into a bank. Prices explode, prices completely go insane, and you try to take your cryptocurrencies out, and the bank is like, no, you did not read the fine print on this 35-page document. You cannot take out that much. You can maybe take out 1/10 of it, and you don't have any access to your money. Let ETFs and other funds and mutual funds and hedge funds put their money with the banks. Let them circulate within each other. Let them do what they kind of need to do. What these major institutions are gunning for, and I think is really weird that all the people who keep proposing ETFs haven't really gotten this. They want these banks who were talking about in 2017 and 2018, which none of them have finally opened, is that they were talking about being like a custody solution, or just having like crypto bank accounts, air quotes, where you can keep your crypto with them, and crypto will be safe and so and so and so. I don't know how safe that would actually be. The point is, this is what they're waiting for. They're probably not going to get it. A lot of the banks who were talking about opening up stuff have all but gone silent, simply because, once again, the market is going down and nobody wants to announce anything. While markets are slouching, for lack of a better word. On top of this as well, really interesting, and this is something that I think a lot of people don't really even think about. I mentioned this before, maybe a couple, no, it had to be weeks ago at this point, but I'll reiterate it again because it's very important. It's something that even me and you and everyone else probably isn't thinking about. Because we've seen a new phenomenon in Bitcoin having a rather hard forking, and then people creating coins from these forks, or rather keeping the old blockchain alive that should have withered away and died off. We've seen many of them. Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Cash SV, which is a fork of a fork, Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Diamond, Bitcoin Green. I think there's a Bitcoin Black. I think there's definitely a Bitcoin Red, a Bitcoin Yellow. These are all forks of forks of forks of forks of forks. Part of the problem is, in my opinion, none of these forks actually need to exist. They shouldn't be around, because it's causing confusion in the market. If we did not have these forks, I think the cryptocurrency space would be a lot healthier. We saw before, when we were trending around the $6,000 to $8,000 range, remember, the market was looking like it was poised to go up, and then we had information that the fork of a Bitcoin fork was talking about destroying the other chains. Bitcoin Cash SV was born, and the market dropped from 6,000 down to 3,000 because of these other forks. Every single time that a fork happens from Bitcoin, whether it be small or whether it be large, it has a type of an impact on the Bitcoin price, because Bitcoin as a solution, a cryptocurrency is meant to only have 21 million units. And every time you fork it to other investors, it doesn't matter if you are a crypto maximalist, if you think that this doesn't exist, if you think that so-and-so, if you think that the forking of the code isn't creating more Bitcoin, in the eyes of traditional investors, it definitely is. If you were Apple, let's say Apple had 21 million stock, and one day Apple II came out and they were like, we're going to double all your stock. You now have double the stock. And this is causing confusion for a lot of people who are trying to get into cryptocurrencies, or even when you look at it from the standpoint of traditional markets, they are basing these on that there are extra Bitcoin out there. When you look at that, it creates a situation, like I told you guys before, that Bitcoin in cryptocurrencies has to grow up, because we keep having these people who are trying to have money in cash grabs, and they're trying to have size contests where they're just forking all of these coins in Bitcoin over and over and over. And this also causes another situation where the SEC, they barely have any idea what's happening. We've had conversations before where people from the SEC and the CFTC have had discussions where they're asking what a BitChain was and how a blockchain works. They have no idea, or maybe a very basic idea of exactly what's happening in the cryptocurrency space. So when you constantly have this thing, imagine if the US dollar kept on forking every day. Imagine if the US dollar had 16 forks. People would be like, well, that thing is worthless. Why are there so many more US dollars every single day? On top of that same exact situation, we have the need, quote unquote, air quotes, for another custody solution from these people who are institutional investors. This is what the SEC means. The SEC, while they may be playing hardball and it's kind of annoying for all of us, this is what they mean when all of this actually ends up happening. The hard forks that are coming from this are seen as dividends from the thing that you had. If you years ago owned, luckily, 10,000 Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash was made, it was like millions at that point. When didn't Bitcoin Cash hit like several thousand? What was it, like $2,000 or something like that? You made millions of dollars from this. And this causes a problem because you can't do this with other assets. Like, you can't have a bar of gold, dip it into some water, and then two bars of gold come out. It's just something that doesn't happen. So you have to have another custody solution, even for the forks that are produced. And even on top of that, which I was talking about a couple of videos ago as well, is that we're going to enter a situation very soon. There was a fund manager that I was listening to on a podcast, and she says so many people don't see this really weird tide coming. And it's pretty much, we have a lot of asset managers out there right now who are talking about, I'm going to be your custody solution. There, for those who have never either watched documentaries about wealth, or have never seen like a wealth fund manager, or have known, I've seen these conversations being held, and they're very interesting. What a wealth fund manager is, especially like a generational wealth fund manager, is pretty much you. If you are, let's say you are a very rich family, like billions of dollars, you hire a wealth manager, generational wealth manager, and you pretty much set them aside. Let's say you have several billion, you set them aside, let's say $2 billion, and you go, build me and my family wealth, put this money where it kind of needs to go to make sure that we are wealthy for generations. Think very, very, very strong word, and this is why I think it's very significant. So pretty much these people will take the billions, they'll put it into funds, they'll put it into this, they'll buy up a whole bunch of real estate, they'll buy all this other stuff, and they'll pretty much tell you and your entire family, we have invested your money so much in places that we know that aren't going to leave. For instance, like real estate in London isn't going anywhere, Harrods isn't going anywhere, property in Paris isn't going anywhere, Manhattan probably is not going anywhere anytime soon. Just a little sprinkle of like an idea. They'll tell you, we have enough, we've built enough wealth just from the money that you've given us so that we can support your family and your grandkids and your great grandkids and your great 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 grandkids over the next couple of centuries, whatever, you know, what have you, as long, however long these people are going to live. And this kind of only repeats itself because it's very, very weird. I've seen it happening before. They will tell you that, that wealth manager, they will tell you, in the event of my passing, you will have to then deal with my son. And they'll have that person, like their son at the meeting, who's also learning the family business or whatever, meet the other kids. And they're like, this is my son. He's going to help you with your wealth. And these are their kids from the older people. It's all very odd. the point of this that I'm leading up to with the hard forks come down to the wealth manager who was talking on the podcast. She was saying, we're going to enter a situation very, very quick where there are a lot of very rich families who are accumulating mass amounts of Bitcoin. I went to a Bitcoin meeting. This was 2003 or something like that. I met this woman. She told me that she was a wealth manager, and this family gave her $5 million to put into Bitcoin in 2013. So they have all this Bitcoin. She says, what's going to happen is that as years go on and more forks are ended up happening, at some point, you as a wealth fund manager, you have to keep track of every single fork or even just all the meaningful forks that are going to happen on that network. And it's causing a lot of people to kind of back out of the industry because they're like, this is really difficult. Because if it was just Bitcoin, it's totally fine. Imagine being a wealth manager and you are controlling the private keys for a very rich family who put in $5 million into Bitcoin. You would have an astronomical amount of Bitcoin. Let's say 100,000 Bitcoin for the sake of numbers. Bitcoin Cash gets made. You have to figure out, as a wealth manager who's used to dealing with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and property and stuff like that, how to get those 100,000 Bitcoin Cash from the private keys that you hold, because they didn't disappear. Like, you know, for those who weren't here during Bitcoin Cash's birth, you had to hope that the exchange that you had it on gave you access to them, or gave you them, or so-and-so. And then you have, imagine Bitcoin Cash SV is born, and you have to figure out how to get your 100,000 Bitcoin Cash SV. You have to figure out how to get your 100,000 Bitcoin diamond, your Bitcoin gold, your Bitcoin red, your Bitcoin blue, your Bitcoin green. You see where I'm going with all of this? So it's really, really insane. This is why it says meaningful forks. But it creates another custody problem, because if you are that bank, if you are that wealth management agency person, whatever conglomerate, you have to keep track of every single hard fork, and this is making the industry look very, very stupid. Whether you want to believe this or not, like I said, it's no longer about... There are a lot of people in the cryptocurrency space who think that I say things because I like to hear myself talk. No, I'm trying to tell you exactly where crypto is going. And this is one of the main reasons why I'm almost certain at this point that Bitcoin and crypto and everything else is going to be taken over by some of the richest people in the entire world, because the people in the cryptocurrency industry have no idea what they're doing anymore. Everything is a fork. Everything is a so-and-so. Everything is a weird upgrade. Everything is some type of a fight, or like an SHIT coin, or people talking about, like, crypto is incredibly insane right now. And the only thing that's going to not even legitimize it, in my opinion, crypto would not go anywhere if we did not have institutional investors. That may make a lot of people very, very upset. You've seen the cryptocurrency space over the course of 2018. It was a cluster, all of it, every single part of it. And this is why it's very difficult to get anything pushed through with the traditional financial system that pertains to cryptocurrencies, because of all these things that we've been happening. I hope you understand it. Like, I mean, everything that I just said, like, take it to heart. Listen to everything that I just said. The constant forks are destroying the cryptocurrency space. At some point, we won't really pay attention to the forks anymore, but it's making custody solutions and everything very, very difficult. People who are trying to get into the cryptocurrency space don't want to buy something or anything that has the potential of being forked, or that can be doubled, or that can be tripled, and that can cause them to lose money. It's very, very interesting when you really, like, dig a lot deeper into exactly what the SEC and all these other corporations and institutions are talking about, but this is pretty much it. The only thing that's going to really move crypto forward at this point, because I think we've hit an impasse, we've hit a wall as a cryptocurrency community, because it's just very childish at this point. Everyone just screaming at each other, talking about how much my coin is over the yours, and your coin can't do this. And industry leaders don't talk like that. You've never seen a situation where the people from Microsoft were screaming at the people from Samsung about how much better their products were. Just doesn't happen. Anyway, to wrap all of that up, the people from Bitwise are trying to get a new Bitcoin ETF to get pushed through. Not going to happen. I'm going to assume if it does get pushed through, it's probably going to only be pushed through if we see a Bitcoin ETF this year. Because the idea is that when we do finally get a Bitcoin ETF that is pushed through by the SEC, that the floodgates will be open, because everyone was simply, you know, it's kind of like taking a test. If you see someone else sitting next to you, you know, has 100 on the test and you copy off of them, you have the exact same answers. Well, I mean, you're also going to get 100 as well. So whoever ends up getting their ETF pushed through, you'll be able to pretty much write your name at the top, say, this is my company, and we're going to do the exact same thing that they did. And if the SEC says no to you, you can file a lawsuit. You let them through with the same exact answers. Why can I not get through? We need another ETF to kind of get through before all of these other ones get through. But the good news is that somewhere along the way, the proposals for physical exchange-traded funds as opposed to like things on paper and stuff like that are becoming more of a mainstream thing. People want to do things that are physically settled, meaning you're actually trading the cryptocurrencies back and forth as opposed to holding sheets of paper that you hand to other people that say that you're holding the cryptocurrencies that you're really not. So, I mean, when we do kind of get this floodgate open, expect at least 20, 30 ETFs around, maybe even just in the US and maybe even more around the world that are going to open that are also going to be physically settled, which is going to help the volume and once again, the liquidity of these cryptocurrencies. So I guess that's the good news out of all of this. I think my ramble's over, but you get exactly what I'm saying. Like, crypto's nuts. And I hope that these are just growing pains because, mark my words, we are going to have a very different cryptocurrency market when these other institutions start launching their products. Crypto's not going to be for the little people anymore. This is why I keep saying, if you're into crypto right now and you have not financial advice, if you've been accumulating, you are setting yourself up for potentially a very good future. Because the money that's getting into this, it's not small money anymore. It's not just people throwing in $10, $15, $20 when they can. It's wealth. It's generational wealth who's scooping up as much of this stuff as they possibly can and buying over the counter and just waiting to hear that all this stuff is going to get passed through. But yeah, let's move on. The last thing I want to or would like to talk about today, I'll read the whole thing out. I'll read it out and then you'll kind of get it. It says, when it comes to the current Bitcoin price momentum, it is rather evident things may not necessarily evolve in a positive direction moving forward. In fact, the opinions on cryptocurrency prices throughout 2019 are all over the place. Although CoinFi co-founder Timothy Tan isn't too impressed at this stage, in fact, he has identified some potential signs which indicate the most recent drop-offs in price were just a matter of time. For as long as cryptocurrency has been around, it appears there have been concerns regarding potential insider trading. Although none of these claims have been proven to be correct so far, it would appear the number of allegations isn't necessarily diminishing either. That in itself always makes for some interesting discussions, albeit it also highlights one of the main problems this industry faces right now. Distrust leads to volatility, which is not necessarily what this industry needs right now. According to CoinFi co-founder and CEO Timothy Tan, the most recent market dump was somewhat premeditated. While that may be a stretch too far and foremost, it would appear that there's some evidence which can back up these suspicions. Tam identified a massive Ether transfer of 40,000 Ether, worth roughly $5 million at the time of the transaction, which were moved to an undisclosed exchange prior to the drop-off materializing. While that in itself might not necessarily be seen as misconduct, it is evidence someone was well aware of the Ether price declining in the near future and decided to take appropriate action ahead in its materializing. Considering how the latest wave of bearish pressure triggered a near 15% decline for Ethereum, it is evident that one large transaction had its role to play in those proceedings. To date, Tam Ha Snot. I assume that's Tam has not confirmed which exchange was involved in the process, but he did state, and I do quote, "Usually transfers of Ethereum onto an exchange indicate an intent to sell. And if there is a sell-off on one exchange, it compounds like dominoes to another because arbitragers will sell immediately on other exchanges as well. Crypto is manipulated. I think it's very weird that people keep telling me in my comment section that it's not. I don't think how you can deny it at this point. What we've seen multiple times before in the past, and I think it's probably one of the... it's an indication to me that institutional investors, people who were into traditional finance before and have very big pockets, that they're definitely into cryptocurrency. I can't tell you who, I can't tell you when, I can't tell you how. When you look at This is one of the reasons why I don't necessarily care for technical analysis, why I think it has no immediate place, maybe somewhere down the line in cryptocurrency, but definitely not when we have illiquidity in the market and the market is kind of all over the place. It doesn't really make sense every single time that we see prices going like this and nearing to the very beginning and they end up sliding completely sideways. I've seen thousands of videos, thousands of articles, thousands of everything. People talking about that we're ending the very tight range for prices and we're about to shoot up. I can show you about 38 different articles over the course of 2018 where we kept on seeing that over and over. People kept on talking about that the market was going to go up because of their technical analysis. It never did. It kept on going down. Why? Because there's illiquidity in the market. The market needs people, actual other people, into the market trading and selling their cryptocurrencies and ETFs and everything else and what have you on a daily basis. What we have right now is that, especially what we've seen before, and if you've been here since 2018, you've definitely seen it before as well. People have moved, not sold, not bought, not traded, moved 15,000 Bitcoin from one wallet address to another, and it's caused Bitcoin's price to drop. One of the really interesting things about this is that it only happens whenever we get to the end of that tight range over and over and over. And I think that definitely the people who are controlling the market at this point know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly how to do it. You could look at it from a standpoint of that they're doing it simply because they would like to fill their pockets a bit more. There are other things that may be possible, but I'm going to just assume that someone holding 40,000 Ethereum who has not sold is probably in the market to buy more Ethereum. If you have $5 million worth of anything and you are not selling, you're probably rich and you're probably looking to get richer. What we keep seeing over and over and it is going to continue happening until the market either finds a tremendous bottom or we end up getting to the point where these other institutions in NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange and blah, 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 finally end up launching their products and we see the market kind of go up, is that these people are accumulating and they're accumulating heavily. And it's always at the exact same times. If you look at the charts, it's really, really weird. Every single time we get to the end of this market movement, this tight range right here, not moving anywhere. Remember that period that we had? It was like 4 months ago where Bitcoin for 2 months didn't move. Every day it was either up 0.18% or down 0.02%, and it just did not go anywhere. And everybody was like, "Oh, the market's gonna move." And this is part of the, this is, blah. And then the market ended up crashing down. Remember, for those who remember, for those who have a good memory, for those who can just look at the charts, remember when that happened? It was when Bitcoin Cash SV came out, and this is one of the reasons why I'm completely against it. I think the timing was a bit too suspect for me. I think if we had had that information any other time about the creation of another coin, it would have been fine. I think even Bitcoin Cash SV would have been swiped under the rug. But it just so happened that Bitcoin Cash SV was right at the end of that tight range. And then the price of Bitcoin went from 6,000 to like nearing 3,000. It was a huge dramatic drop over the course of like a 2 week period, all because this thing just happened to randomly come out at the end of this range. I don't trust it. I'm not going to buy it. I don't care if Bitcoin Cash SV hit 10 cents. I would not, me, myself, personally trust it. Anyway, the point is we keep seeing these movements and it's just movements. That's the weirdest part. Remember a couple, this was last year as well. Someone, I think, moved, what was it like? I think 25,000 Bitcoin or something like that. And people thought that it was like someone trying to sell like maliciously. And then we found out that it was a guy from Mt. Gox who's in possession of a certain amount of Bitcoin because of the entire lawsuit and stuff like that. He was just moving the cryptocurrencies back and forth between different wallets. And the market was going down because of that. I'm not saying I don't think that a lawyer in Japan is especially one who's been as entangled in cryptocurrency as that guy has. I don't think he's maliciously trying to drop the price, but other people definitely are. Until the market ends up finally moving up, it is incredibly easy to manipulate the market. We don't have any laws for. I mean, here's where it gets very tricky. We don't have any laws against insider trading, and this is what people in the cryptocurrency space either scream that we need regulation for insider trading, but then you also have other people who want to be in control of their money. So how do we get to a situation where we can control people and what they're doing with their finances, but also have a decentralized network where you can't tell other people what to do? Because as it stands right now, this is going to continue happening. I will tell you from the bottom of my heart, If, like in cryptocurrencies, and I'm pretty sure everyone else out there would do the exact same thing, like many other people are doing, if when there are no laws and there's no insider trading laws and there's no real concrete anything about around cryptocurrencies, and you can figure out a way to move your funds. Imagine you bought two computers and you set them side by side and you just moved Ethereum back and forth between them. When you saw that the range was getting low, the price dropped down and you can put another couple million into Ethereum to buy up even more, especially if you were buying over the counter. That's where it gets even trickier. I mean, it kind of is what it is. The market, I don't know. It's just going to continue happening. There's no way, real way that we can stop it, because with a decentralized network, we can't tell people what to do with their own money. Part of the premise of cryptocurrencies. But I think these premeditated is incredibly obvious at this point. Many people may once again disagree. I disagree with you. This is going to continue happening. And I think our best hope is when we finally get the market back over 10,000. I think it'll be a lot more difficult to be able to dump and sell coins and push prices back further down. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for that topic. As far as the prices today, nothing too completely insane. Nothing is up. Nothing's really down. No real major changes across the board, which is kind of nice to see. Typically, sometimes before in the past, during weekends, we would see major dumps. For some reason, people sell their cryptocurrencies on the weekend, and I don't really know why. What the fascination is. Anyway, that's going to do it for this video. I hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all are having a great day, a great morning, a great afternoon, a great evening, wherever you are, wherever you might be. Hope it's absolutely fantastic. Thank you all once again for watching and or listening. I do appreciate all of your support. For those who have lasted this long, kudos to you. Thank you very much for sticking around. I think I may end up doing a live stream later on today. I may try and do like one or two live streams during the actual week. But I feel like the weekend may be a more appropriate time to have maybe like, so I'm trying to figure out if I should do like three live streams a week or maybe four, like two, maybe like one on a Tuesday, one on a Thursday, and maybe one on Saturday and Sunday, just to be able to have like something else to do, to be able to talk to everyone. And I think the one later on may be a Q&A, as in like a question and answer type thing. I will recap during the live stream, but try to make sure that you're not just asking the same exact questions over and over again. I do apologize well in advance once again for those who made it this far. I cannot always answer questions about every single cryptocurrency. I told you guys before, I tried to stay within the range of at least maybe the top 20. I'll sometimes get into maybe Omise Go. There are just far too many coins to be able to give like a proper anything about. Like I can't tell you where I think Chainlink is going to go, ZB is going to go. I cannot give you a price prediction on Bitcoin Diamond because it's Bitcoin Diamond. But yeah, I think I like the idea of, I like live streaming. I like talking, being able to talk to all of you. And I think it's another way, since I stopped my question and answer type thing with that email day thing, whatever have you, the question and answer thing. I think it's very nice to be able to live stream. Anyway, that's going to do it. Finally. And yeah, I'll talk to you all soon. Maybe even later. See you.